one of our Blessed Mother's titles is the Comforter of the Afflicted. We could call John the Baptist just the opposite. He used to afflict the comfortable. And so John the Baptist was very outspoken. In fact, he wound up in prison, where we see him in today's gospel. It says John was in prison. And we notice when we look at John's life, he, of course, is a wonderful saint for Advent because he prepared the way for the Lord. He was a witness to Christ, even in his mother's womb. In fact, we could say that John, from the womb to the tomb, was a witness for Christ. He leapt for joy when Jesus the Messiah came into his presence. In fact, we could really say that it was an unborn baby was the first one to ever recognize the presence of the Messiah. When our Blessed Mother was carrying Christ in her womb and she visited Elizabeth, it says, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the babe in her womb leapt for joy. So John the Baptist, even though he could not speak because he was an unborn baby, he leapt for joy at the presence of the Messiah. So he was the first witness to the Messiah, the first witness to Christ. And the fathers of the church remind us that when John leapt for joy in his mother's womb, he was sanctified in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was cleansed of original sin, and he was to become the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. So we see that this is really Jesus' first miracle, the cleansing of John the Baptist from original sin in his mother's womb. And so John would then spend his entire life preparing people for the Messiah. John was known for his humility. He would often say, "Jesus must increase and I must decrease." He would always point his own disciples to follow Jesus. When the time came, he sent his disciples like Andrew and the others to follow Christ. Even in today's gospel, he sends his disciples to Jesus to ask him this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" It's an interesting question. Perhaps John in prison was going through some sort of a dark night of the soul, some sort of internal struggle. Maybe he was wanting to know, is Jesus the Messiah? Or maybe he was just sending his disciples to Jesus so that he could tell them for themselves that he was the Messiah. How does Jesus respond? He says, "Go tell John what you see and hear." And then he quotes from our first reading today, the prophet Isaiah, that when the Messiah comes, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised, and the poor will have the good news preached to them. So Jesus is fulfilling the prophet Isaiah in working these great miracles. And that's his response to John. And when the disciples leave, Jesus turns to the crowd and say, "Just who is John the Baptist?" And then Jesus reminds us that he is the greatest of all the prophets. He's the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And yet he says, "Even though born of woman there is none greater than John, yet the least born into the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The least born into the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's because John belonged to the old dispensation, the Old Testament, whereas Christ was coming to establish his church in the New Testament. Now, when it says none is greater than John, it's not referring to holiness, because obviously John was one of the holiest out of all of God's closest saints and closest friends. But it's referring to being blessed. See, it says the least born into the kingdom of heaven is even more blessed than John. Because John was of the Old Testament dispensation, where we, as members of the church, are of the New Testament dispensation. Because we have the sacraments. We have the sacrament of baptism, which takes away original sin and gives us sanctifying grace. We have the Holy Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, something John the Baptist never had. He never got to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. See, we are more blessed than John, Jesus says, because we're born into the kingdom of heaven, which of course is the image of the church. So John's life, of course, was one of witness, one of humility, and it was certainly one of courage as well. Because John spoke out against King Herod, and he wound up in prison. And even from prison, he was a witness to the Lord. So John's purpose was to prepare the way for the Messiah. And I think it's very appropriate that we have these readings today on December 12th. Today, of course, is the third Sunday of Advent. But December 12th is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And when we think of the message of Guadalupe, it's the same message as John the Baptist. In other words, prepare yourself for Christ. When Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego back in 1531 in Mexico, the Aztec Indians were in need of a savior. They were in need of knowing about the one true God. The Aztecs at that time, is 40 years after Columbus, were doing human sacrifices, 50,000 a year in Mexico. And the Aztecs would need to hear the message of the one true God and the message that Jesus is their Savior. So our Blessed Mother was sent from God to visit them. And she was like the John the Baptist of their time to prepare them for the reception of Christ. So Our Lady appeared to a 57-year-old widower named Juan Diego, now Saint Juan Diego. As I told the Daily Mass this past week, I said when I was a newly ordained priest 20 years ago, when I thought of Juan Diego at age 57, I thought Juan Diego was quite old, wasn't he? But now I'm just 10 years from that number, and he's not that old anymore, is he? So Juan Diego would receive this great apparition of Our Blessed Mother, and she would imprint her miraculous image on his cloak and give a special message that a church would need to be built there and that she was the mother of these suffering people. And Our Lady prepared the way for that nation to become Christian. In fact, 9 million of those pagans were baptized in the next 10 years. They were baptized and received into the Catholic Church. And that whole country would eventually become Christian and become Catholic. The human sacrifices ended after Our Blessed Mother appeared at Guadalupe. So we need Our Blessed Mother and the Lord more than ever in our own society to prepare us as well and to stop the slaughter of the innocent in our own society. See, the pagans killed 50,000 a year in their country, human sacrifices. We do that every month in America with abortion. And so we need Our Blessed Mother, Our Lady Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas, to intercede for us, to pray for our country, to convert our nation, that we will end the sacrifices, the human sacrifices that are being done in our own country. 1.5 million each year here, and of course, doesn't even count what's happening throughout the world. So Our Blessed Mother is that modern-day John the Baptist who is there to prepare us for Christ. And when we think of this miraculous image of Our Lady Guadalupe, and I encourage you, if you've ever had a chance, or will have a chance, to go to Mexico City and see the miraculous image for yourself. It is magnificent. When Juan Diego had Our Lady appear to him and she imprinted her image on his cloak, his tilma, that tilma was made of a cactus fiber, which should have disintegrated within 20 years. And it's a miraculous event that here it is, 450 years later, and the cloak is still perfectly intact. The image is still as bright and as beautiful as when Our Lady impressed it upon Juan Diego's cloak. The scientists have examined it, and it's not painted on there. It's somehow miraculously impressed upon the cloak. The scientists have taken magnification and looked into the Blessed Mother's eye, the pupil in Our Lady's eye, and they can see the reflection of the bishop and Juan Diego and the others that stood in the room at that time. So it's truly miraculous image. In 1921, when the enemies of the church tried to destroy the image by placing a time bomb underneath it, the bomb exploded. But miraculously, no one was hurt during the Mass, and the image itself was unharmed as well, even though the bomb exploded just a few feet from the image. So I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity to read and study about this ongoing miracle of Our Lady Guadalupe's cloak, and then get a chance to see it for yourself and make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. So just as Our Lady back then visited the people of Mexico and God brought about great conversions to Christianity and baptisms and brought about a preparation for them to receive the Lord, so today we pray for our country as well, that Our Lady will intercede for us as well to convert our nation, that we too will respect the sanctity of all human life from the moment of conception until natural death.